Okay, good morning. It is a great schus. It's beautiful to get to learn together at this very auspicious time. So we're going to learn together a passage in the Zohar. So you're already thinking, first of all, who is this guy to learn with us the Zohar? And that's a very good point. I don't know anything about the Zohar, and I really don't belong learning Zohar. But if this Zohar appears in an English published essay in the Tradition magazine from Rabbi Joseph E. Soloveitchik, so then it's probably okay for us. So we're going to learn one passage in the Zohar. That's going to be our goal for today. And our overall goal is to figure out and understand why this passage in the Zohar HaKadosh, this specific piece, which appears at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, has anything to do with the Yomim Noraim, with the incredible time, this awesome period that we are experiencing right now. What does that have to do with anything? So I want to back up for a second before we start this Zohar. And notice that we take it for granted, but we follow a pattern. And it's worth considering this pattern and asking about this pattern between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. There is a specific avoda, there is a specific focus in terms of what we do on Rosh Hashanah. It appears in the Chumash, it's the mitzvah Hayom. And there is similarly a specific avoda, there's a specific focus on what we do on Yom Kippurim. If you look in the Chumash, what does the Chumash say is the avodas Hayom? What are we supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah? It's one thing. What's that? That's right. Yom Truah. Welcome, welcome. Okay, we're just getting started. We're learning Zohar today. It's a good week. Watch out. So, Alan, let me give you these in case anybody else. Okay. So the avoda of Rosh Hashanah, according to the Chumash, is Yom Truah, Zichron Truah. It's about blowing. Good. What's the avoda of Yom Kippurim? What's the focus of Yom Kippur? So the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva that Yom Kippurim is Zman, it's the time of to do what? What are we supposed to do? Do Tshuva. Zman Tshuva Lakol. And the way to actualize tshuva, how would you know if someone is doing tshuva or not? How could you tell if someone is doing tshuva? Full tshuva, according to the Rama's process of tshuva, there is a way to tell as an outsider. What would you look for?
Remorse.
Okay, hard to tell remorse, though, from the outside. How do you know if they're remorseful?
Change of behavior?
Maybe change of behavior, but how could you tell if someone is doing tshuva right now or not in the next 5 minutes? Maybe, but the Rambam tells you in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva that there is one core obligation in the process of tshuva, and that's what the Rambam says is the mitzvah of vidui, of verbally acknowledging and articulating what we did.
It's
not appropriate to do in front of other people, but that's how I could tell if you're doing tshuva or not. Are you talking? If you're not speaking, you're not doing the full process of tshuva. It doesn't mean you can't have what we call hirhurei tshuva, thoughts, inner feelings of tshuva. That's also valuable. That's also part of tshuva. But the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, kishayase tshuva v'yoshev meicheto chayav lehisvados lufnei akel baruch hu. The person is obligated to verbalize this declaration. I have remorse. This is what I did. I commit to not doing it again. The whole story. So I'm noticing that this is a sequence. And we're all used to it because we've done it for so long. But it's important to think about, why is this the sequence? Why is this the Seder? Why is this the order that we're choosing? That it's Dafka, we start with Rosh Hashanah, which is a time of truah, of blowing. And then we move to Yom HaKippurim, which is this time of vidui. So, for those who are just joining us, I'm glad you could make it through this not-so-pleasant weather. But we're introducing a passage in the Zohar. That's our goal today, is to learn this piece in the Zohar by thinking about the sequence of the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah with the shofar and the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim with vidui. Now that in and of itself is worth thinking about. What is the significance of the blowing of the shofar? And the truth is, it's not really so much about the blowing per se, the mice of blowing. It's more about the voice. L'shmo ha-kol shofar, those of us who are listening, but it's the voice of the shofar, it's the kol shofar that precedes the avoda of Yom HaKippurim, of vidui. But more than that, and this is a fundamental core question, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. It's the day of judgment. So many of us would have expected that before we approach the Yom HaDin, that's when we should ask for forgiveness. If lo aleinu, a person was facing a criminal complaint, so then first they would submit letters asking for consideration, mitigated sentence, before they hand down the sentence. First they get the letters. So it's interesting to think about that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, it's the reverse. First, we deal with the Yom HaDin. Afterwards, we start to talk about, we did this and we did that and we ask for Rachmanus. Mi yitzdak lefanecha kol chai. It's not, I have to tell you, being a Baal Tefillah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's an awesome and terrible thing. It is. Because the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's the Yom HaDin, it's Yom HaKasha. It's frightening. It's very unsettling. It's very, very unsettling. I would much rather be on the second day. But this is what it is. It's very, very intense. Mamish Yom HaDin Din HaKasha. So we're going to deal with everything later. So there are many reasons for this. Many important reasons. But today, we're going to think about it from a very specific perspective that hopefully will enable us to think more broadly about this whole period, this whole journey, in a different way. One more ha'ara, right? The first ha'ara is thinking about the difference between the mitzvah sayom of Rosh Hashanah, which is the sounding of the shofar, and Yom HaKippurim, which is the mitzvah vidui. The second is the sequence between the shofar and Rosh Hashanah and the tshuva of Yom HaKippurim. The third is an interesting ha'ara, that Yom Kippur has an unusual dual quality. We know that Yom HaKippurim is a day of slicha, mechila, and kapara. It's a day of atonement. We get a fresh start. It's like we said before from the Rambam, it's the zman, it's really the closest, most opportune time to return to ourselves in tshuva. But there's another aspect Yom HaKippurim. Second aspect. What is the historical event that took place on Yom HaKippurim that is, in many times in Chazal, it's in the backdrop, it's latent in our experience of Yom HaKippurim? What happened on Yom Kippur? That's right. And what did he give us? That's right. On Yom HaKippurim, we were given what's called the Luchos Shnios, the second tablets. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. It's not coincidental, but what does it mean? In what way is Yom Kippur connecting us back to Shavuos? Right? Because Shavuos, we got the Aseres HaDibros. That was when we were supposed to get the first Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, as we know, on Shavuos HaBetamos. It didn't go well, so we have to have a do-over. But the speech of the Luchos was given on Shavuos. And so somehow, Yom HaKippurim is a bridge from Shavuos, from Matan Torah. And we need to figure out why that is. So all these three issues together are the frame, or a frame, of thinking about this passage of the Zohar Kodesh that you have in front of you. This comes from an essay. What you have in your hand is the Xerox copy of an essay that was published in Tradition from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, I don't know too much about Rav Soloveitchik or his teachings, you know, that's like a whole, you have to be mamash gadol ba'atzam. So maybe I understand a few crumbs. How much can you really understand on our level? So whatever we can understand, we're going to understand. But from what I understand, in learning different essays from Rav Soloveitchik, he doesn't often quote the Zohar. He doesn't often quote an entire passage of Zohar in full text in an English article. This is unusual. So it's Omer Dorsheni. It says we need to look carefully at this. So what we're going to do is you have here the Xerox. The topic here is called Redemption, Prayer, and Talmud Torah. In this context, he uses the Zohar for a specific reason to explain what he's dealing with. Perhaps after we study this Zohar, we can get a totally new perspective on our process of the Yom HaNoraim. So let's learn it. You have it in the English, underneath the Hebrew if you want to follow. Tochazi. Come and look. Ksiv, it says, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. The Jewish people, they didn't listen to me. Ve'eich yishma'eini paro va'ani aral svasayim. Says the Zohar HaKodesh. And again, I'm not suggesting that I understand what the Zohar really, really means. I'm just going to read the words, and we're going to translate them. And Rav Soloveitchik is going to open the gates. Says the Zohar HaKodesh, Mai va'ani aral svasayim. What does it mean that I am encumbered lips, blocked lips? V'ha b'kadmi saksiv lo ish dvarim anochi ki kvad peh uchvad lashon anochi. Moshe Rabbeinu already said, excuse me, Moshe Rabbeinu already said that I'm not a man of words. I'm a kvad pen, a kvad lashon. V'kud shabrichu. Ira, it's good, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you, though. V'kud shabrichu hava osiv le'mi sam pela adam. Hashem Yisbarach already said to him, who puts a mouth for a person? V'hu amar, and Moshe said, and the Rebbeinu Shalom continued to say, v'anochi, I, God, ehyeh picha. I will be with your mouth. So what is going on over here? Hashem told him, Sal kadaitach delo havehein bikad misa. What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu is worried Hashem is not going to follow through with what he said? Hashem said, go ahead, tell him. I already told you. Ella Raza, there's a secret. There's a Raz. There's a secret. Ihu Moshe Kola V'dibur. Moshe was Kola, he was voice. V'dibur and words, D'ihu Mila, that is words. Dibur means speech, which is words. Delay of his, Hava Begalusa. At this point, says the Zohar HaKodesh, Moshe was a voice, but no words. His dibur, his speech, was in exile. Okay, the Zohar HaKodesh is distinguishing between the voice and the speech. Va'ave'iu atim, he was atum. What does atum mean? Closed. He was closed, lefarsha milin, to speak his words. who began da because of this. Amari says, "Ve'ech yishma'eni Paro. How is Paro going to listen to me? Ba'od demila dili e begalusa delay. My words are in his exile. The speech," says the Zohar, "is in the exile of Paro." So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I understand what you told me, but the words are in exile." Va'aldo, and for this, shitef kutshabrichu la'aron behedya, bahade, excuse me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu partnered Aaron with Moshe. So therefore, what happens? Tochazi, come and see. Kol dizimna de dibor hava begalusa. Any time when the word was in galus, kola istalak mine, his voice was taken away from him. Umila hava atum, kol. Kar asa Moshe asa kol. When Moshe came the voice. Umoshe hava kol below mila. And Moshe was a voice without words. Began to have a begalusa because the words were in galus, in exile. V'chol zimna de dibur have a begalusa, Moshe ozel kola below dibur. V'hachi ozel adekrevu latura de Sinai. But this continued until they arrived at Sinai, that they had a kol. Moshe had a kol, he had a voice with no words, until they got to Sinai. What happens? The Isyavis Oraisa. And what did they get at Sinai? The Torah was given. Uba'u Zimna at that time, Ischaber, it was connected, Kola Bedibur. The voice and the words were connected. That's what happened at Sinai. And he spoke words, and all of a sudden, Moshe ishtakach shlim b'mila, k'dekoyeos kol v'dibur k'chara b'shlimu. They arrived at Sinai, so it's the Zohar. Moshe Rabbeinu got the word v'yedaber, and now Moshe Rabbeinu can tell it over to the people, and now he has the words. Until that point, he needed Aaron, because his words were still in Golis, even after they left Egypt. Until they got to Sinai, the kol was there, but the milim, the words, were not there. That's what it says. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you told me you were going to be with me, you're going to give me a voice. I got a voice, but I don't have a mila, I don't have words. There are obviously very, very deep, mamish, very deep messages in the Zohar that are way, way beyond regular level of understanding. But for our level of understanding, Rav Soloveitchik explains it to us. Take a look on the next column. The text divides the process of redemption in three stages. First, it identifies bondage with the absence of both word and meaningful sound, with total silence. Then redemption begins with finding sound while the word is still absent. Finally, with the finding of both sound and word, redemption attains its full realization. Before Moshe came, there was not even a single sound. No complaint was lodged, no sigh, no cry, nothing. Read what he describes here.
That the Jews cried out to...
Good. One second. This is going to be. It will be. Mm-hmm. It will be. That's exactly what's going to happen. Next paragraph. When Moshe came, the sound or the voice came into being. Ki asa Moshe asa kol. And what did we hear? Exactly the next pasuk that he quotes. Vayonchu b'nei Yisrael minu avoda vayitzak vayizaku vatal shavosim elu elokim. Why hadn't they cried before Moshe acted? Why were they silent during the many years of slavery? They lacked the need awareness and experienced no need, whether for freedom, for dignity, for painless existence. They did not rebel against reality. They lacked the tension that engenders suffering and distress. The voice was restored to them. Turn to the page. At the very instant they discovered emotionally their need awareness, they became sensitive to pain in a human fashion. Moshe Rabbeinu's protest precipitated this change. But see in section 7, but even Moshe, the Zohar emphasizes, who helped the people move from the silent periphery to the great center, did not acquire the word until he and the people reached Mount Sinai. Although Moshe had the existential awareness of need, he had not yet, as yet, discovered the logos of need, which would in turn have endowed him with the charisma of speech. So he's saying, I'm Aral Safasai. Before Moshe Rabbeinu comes along, it's almost as if they're not people. They don't even have the understanding that they're suffering. They don't cry. Not crying. Rabbi Lau tells an unbelievable story in his book, Al Tishlach Yadcha El Hanar, that he was with a group of children in a DP camp in France, like a children's home, I guess, orphanage type of thing for these children, lo aleinu. And they were told that they had to come to an assembly because a visiting dignitary, someone, a donor, somebody, a macher, is going to come and visit them in this place. And they refused. They said, it doesn't matter if this person is paying for our shelter, our welfare. We're not going. We're not up for that. 400 children, I think it was. And they went to the lawn, and they had an assembly. And he describes that all the children sat there. Some of you remember this story?
Yes.
They all sat there. And they wouldn't look up at the speakers. And finally, one survivor got up to speak. And he started to cry. He talked to them. And Rabbi Lau describes that slowly each one of the children lifted their head up and they looked at this person speaking, this survivor. And they each began to cry. And it was, he said, it was mamish like the valley of tears. They all cried. And what did they say to this yid afterwards?
Thank you.
That's right. You remember that's what they said?
Yes,
they said, thank you. Because until now, we couldn't even cry. And these children were worried that they're not human. They're not human. Because if they can't come to the level of Vayezaku, of to cry out, they're in the depths of Golos. So the first thing is just to get to the place of crying. After that, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, now you have a voice, now the Jewish people can cry, we're going to get to the point where we have something to say. This is a process. It starts with golos, with shibud, with nothingness. It moves to the level of kol, and then from kol it moves to the level of dibur. I wonder, maybe, if this is a pattern that we have seen before. Before the world came into existence, there was nothingness. It was tohu vavohu, v'choshech al pnei tohu. It was nothingness. And then we move into the first transformational stage of the Yom Rishon of the first day, and we have light. Just the basic element of light. It's like having a coal. But that light, it's not intelligible. It's just light in the world. After that process develops, we get to the stage where we are at Shabbos. And that light now has a tzura, it has a frame, it has candles, it has meaning, it has a context. So maybe now we can understand in our small way a little bit, perhaps, of this process of the Yamino run. Perhaps this is our process. That the whole year, the reality is that we're living sometimes with confusion, with tohu vavohu, with shibud. We're meshubed to so many things. So we have no words and we have no voice. We're meshubed, whether it's to our phone, to our job, to our history, to all kinds of baggage. We feel like we're avodim, we're meshubed, we're stuck in the meitzarim. It's not so shocking to us that the period of the summer, which is the period of Bein HaMitzarim, Mitzrayim, Paro, always precedes what? Yamin Orun. We've been stuck in this shibud. Comes one day, it's the day of Or. L'davar Hashem, Ori V'yishi. Ori, says the Medrash, Ori, Zera Shoshana. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to us and he gives us a day of Or. But it's going to take us some time till we actually, to get the words, to get to our Sinai. Maybe this is the pshat. Zeh Yom Tchilas Ma'asecha, Zikaron LeYom Rishon, and maybe in this respect, it's Yom Rishon, it's the Vayi'era Vayivoker Yom Echad, the Yom Rishon of the Or. So what's the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah? It's blowing the shofar. It's just what? It's what? It's just a sound. We come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's the first day of Aseret Simei Tshuva. So where's the vidui? The answer is, before you can articulate words, you need a sound. It's the wordless vidui, it's the kol. We say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, all we have right now is the kol. Kios, that's it. What do you call it? That's it. Ki asa Rosh Hashanah asa kol. We have a voice. Now at least, from the depths of this exile, from this tragic estrangement from him, we can call out to him. We can say, hey, help. We don't even have the help. We just say, ay, oy. We have a kol. And then you come to the end of the week, which in the full shlemus, a week in our world is 7 days, but the sholem, the full shlemus is really 10, Maharal says. We come to what? We come to Yom Kippur. What is Yom Kippur? It's Shabbos Shabboson. It's Shabbos Shabboson. It's like the first Shabbos of humanity, when we received not just the kol, the light that we got on the first day. Now we have Vayichulu. We have the words. We have Shabbos candles. We have a context. We have meaning. It's not shocking to me, then, that what did we receive on Yom Kippurim? The Lucho Shnios. It's the Lucho Shnios, because it was only when we got to Har Sinai that Moshe Rabbeinu got, says the Zohar HaKodesh, he got the words. And so the avoda, now we can understand very well all the questions. Why Yom Kippurim is the Yom Shnios? Because Yom Kippurim is the day when we get the Mila, the voice, the Dibur. We also understand why it is both that there is such a system, that this is the avoda of each day, and also the Seder. Rosh Hashanah must precede Yom Kippurim. Because when we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam to say HaMelech on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we don't have a voice or a word. So the first day the Ribbono Shel Olam says, the first thing we're going to do is have a voice. That's the first shlav in getting out of the exile of the whole year, of the Meitzarim. First, the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us the kol. He gives us the Yom Teruah. Then, over the course of the week, then we come to the mitzvah sayom of Yom Kippur. The mitzvah sayom of Rosh Hashanah is lishmoa what? Lishmoa kol shofar. It's listen to the kol. I didn't see this in any svarim. It could be that I'm totally off with this whole story, this whole mahalach. But maybe it's that kol, that ki asa Moshe asa kol. We're getting out of the Meitzarim, the first shlav, the first step is just to have a kol. That's Rosh Hashanah. Lishmoa kol shofar. And that was very important. That's the first step to get out. But we have to recognize that's not the end goal. It's to be able to get to a point where we receive the luchos shnios, where those luchos, those tablets, they have letters. They have a shape. They have a form. It's a Shabbos Shabboson where we have a very specific way of articulating our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it's been damaged, so now we have words to fix it. Chayev l'svados l'fnei HaKel Baruch Hu. So we have a whole machzor with vidui. There will not be a single vidui on Rosh Hashanah. Some people even skip the Vina Malkeinu. They skip that first one, some people. That's why some people don't eat nuts. There's no chait. There's no chait. Why? You can't say vidui. Because the dibur, the mila, Zohar HaKadosh says, it's in Golus. We're not there yet. We need to first get out just to have a shirai, just to have a kol. And that's what we're going to have with the Yom Teruah. It's just that kol. And that kol, think about those Jews, the anguish, the longing, the feeling. That's why the kol of Rosh Hashanah has so many different sounds. There's a tekiah sound. There's a shvarim sound. There's a trua sound. What does a person feel like when they're just getting out? All those different emotions. That's the avodah sayom of Rosh Hashanah. And then we get to Yom Kippurim, and then we have the kol. And with that, we get the mechilas avonos, the forgiveness, the fresh start, together with the luchos exactly the way it was all those years ago. Halavai, we, over this period, should be able to move ourselves and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the state of muteness into the center, into the geula with a kol and a mila, and that his word should be that we should all be nichtavim v'nechtamim l'chaim tovim u'lishalom. Shana tova.